I want to start today with a statistic that, honestly, it genuinely frustrated me when I read it.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a number that represents so much lost potential, not just for bank accounts, but for entire careers, 3 in 10.
3 in 10. It is a staggering number.
That is the percentage of job candidates who actually negotiate their starting salary, 3 in 10, which implies that 70% of people.
The vast majority.
Right, the vast silent majority are just accepting the very first number placed in front of them. And the part that really twists the knife for me, of that minority who do ask, the brave three, two-thirds of them receive a higher offer.
Which tells us immediately that the money is there. I mean, the budget exists. The no that everyone is so afraid of is often just a default setting, not a hard wall, but people are walking away from the table without even testing the handle.
Exactly. And that is exactly what we are unpacking today. Welcome to our deep dive. I'm your host, and today we're looking into life equality.
I'm very excited to dig into this one. I'm your resident expert for today's deep dive, and this topic is so critical.
It really is. So to give everyone a quick overview, we are pulling from the Life Equality website, their FAQ section, and excerpts from their blog. They are a platform currently in a pre-launch waitlist phase, and they're designed specifically to fix this broken negotiation dynamic.
Yes.
Their focus is primarily on helping users, particularly women in tech, bridge this massive salary gap. But the mission of this deep dive, what we really want to get into today, is how they shift the mindset from just knowing your worth, which is sort of a vague vibe, to actually knowing what to say.
Right, a strategy.
Yes, treating negotiation not as a personal favor you're asking for, but as a business transaction.
Yeah.
Because this isn't just about missing out on a slightly nicer paycheck one time. We have to talk about the compounding problem.
Oh, the compounding gap is brutal. I think the human brain is just inherently bad at exponential math. We see, oh, I missed out on $5,000, and we think,
Okay, that stings, but I'll survive.
exactly. But that's not how salary works in the corporate world. Your starting salary is the anchor for your entire financial trajectory.
Right.
Think about it. Your annual raise, it's a percentage of your base. Your performance bonus, a percentage of your base. Even your next job offer often gets pegged to your current earnings.
So if you start low, you stay low.
Yeah.
You are essentially agreeing to a discount on your labor that compounds every single year for decades.
Precisely. And the source material from Life Equality puts some really hard numbers on this. They project that closing this gap can mean an extra $1,000 per month,
Wow.
which translates to about 809 euros, or just over 6,000 Danish kroners every single month.
That is massive.
It's $12,000 a year, over a 20-year career. If you factor in typical market investment returns, you are literally talking about the difference between retiring comfortably and having to work 5 extra years.
Which really puts that fear of asking into perspective for you. Is 5 minutes of a slightly awkward conversation worth $500,000 over a lifetime? The math obviously says yes, but the psychology says run away.
Run away as fast as you can. And that friction is exactly what Life Equality is trying to solve. Because their mission isn't just that generic advice we constantly see on social media
Oh,
of,
you mean the know your worth posts?
yes, know your worth, it's everywhere, it's on coffee mugs.
It's a nice affirmation, but.
But Life Equality argues that knowing your worth is useless if you don't have a strategy. They want to move negotiation away from this feeling of asking for a personal favor, where you feel like you're begging for charity.
I found their concept of correcting the transaction to be such a helpful shift in perspective. The sources argue that we feel guilty, especially women in tech, because we view the salary as a gift the company is giving us.
Rather than payment for services rendered, exactly. The research highlights three main barriers here. There's fear, which usually just stems from a lack of preparation. There's personality, because many people in technical fields are introverts who just despise confrontation.
Right.
But the biggest one is guilt, this overwhelming feeling of being a burden.
I think so many of you listening probably have that internal monologue, the one that says, I should just be grateful to have a job at all, or if I ask for more money, they're going to think I'm difficult or greedy.
And that is the trap. So, Life Equality breaks down this burden myth with a great analogy. Imagine you are a freelance consultant.
Okay.
You do 50 hours of incredibly hard work for a client, but you accidentally send an invoice for only 40 hours.
Oh no.
Right. But when you realize the mistake, do you feel greedy for sending a corrected invoice?
No, not at all. I just think, oops, administrative error on my part. Here is the correct bill for the 50 hours. It's just data.
Exactly. That is the life equality mindset. You are a high-level service provider. You deliver code. You deliver project management, strategy, whatever it is. That is your service.
Mm-hmm.
The salary is simply the invoice.
So if the salary doesn't match the value provided, you aren't being difficult. You are just correcting a clerical error in the valuation.
Precisely. It effectively neutralizes the emotion. It removes your ego from the equation. It's a business meeting. But you cannot just walk into your manager's office and say, hey, your invoice is wrong, pay me more, just based on a feeling.
Right. You can't just say, I feel like I'm worth more. You need proof.
You need hard data. And this brings us to the actual tech solution, the how of life equality.
Yes. Let's talk about Sally. Looking at the workflow and the sources, Life Equality uses an AI coach named Sally. And Sally is not there to just give you a high five and tell you you're great. She seems more like a really rigorous editor for your career history.
She's an interrogator, in the best possible way, of course. The process starts with a deep analysis. So you, as the user, enter your current salary and your target salary. But then Sally starts asking what the platform calls sharp, director-level questions.
And this leads into a concept they call hidden steal. I absolutely love this term. Can we unpack the difference between this steal and what most people usually bring to a negotiation?
So most people bring what we might call soft lead to the table. They say things like, I worked really, really hard this year, or I was a great team player.
I really care about the company mission.
Which is nice.
Right.
But you can't put I care on a balance sheet.
Yeah.
A director or a VP of engineering cannot approve a budget increase based on good vibes. They need return on investment.
Right.
So hidden steal is the quantifiable impact you've made, but probably forgot to track.
Okay, so let's say I'm a back-end developer. I might go into a review thinking, well, I just did my job. I fixed bugs. That's pretty soft. What does Sally do with that?
Sally is going to ask you, how many bugs did they impact customers? Did your fixes reduce server downtime? She pushes you and pushes you until you can confidently say, I resolved critical latency issues that reduced server costs by 15% and saved the engineering team 10 hours of manual patching every single week.
Now that is steal. That is actual money saved.
And that is an invoice you can defend in a meeting. Once you uncover that steal with Sally, the tool moves to the next steps. It generates a strategy, presenting three specific negotiation options in a table format. And then, crucially, you move to the practice phase.
The role play. I feel like this aspect is so overlooked. We rehearse for plays, we rehearse for public speaking, but for literally the most important financial conversation of our year, we usually just wing it.
Winging it is a terrible idea. Negotiation is a muscle. If you never flex it the moment you have to use it, your body just creates cortisol. You get strung up.
You'll freeze up.
Exactly. But if you role play with AI, Sally, you are simulating the combat. You get to say the words out loud, see how they feel in your mouth, and get instant feedback without the risk of looking foolish in front of your actual boss.
It completely lowers the stakes so you can focus on the technique. And speaking of technique, I really want to get into the scripts now.
The scripts are the tactical core of this entire deep dive.
To me, this was the highest value part of the source material. Life Equality provides verbatim scripts for very specific blockers that users face. I want to actually run through these with you because reading them on a screen is one thing, but hearing how the pivot works out loud is another.
Let's do it.
So I'll play the role of the difficult recruiter or the stingy boss, and you give me the steel response from the platform.
Ready when you are.
Okay, scenario one, the premature ask. This happens constantly. I'm a recruiter. We were on the very first phone screen, maybe 5 minutes in. I haven't told you much about the job yet, I say. So before we waste any time here, what are your salary expectations?
It's a classic trap. If you give a number, you might severely undercut yourself. If you refuse to answer, you look difficult to work with. So the script here is, I'm really excited to learn more about the role first, to understand the full scope of responsibilities. Based on the requirements we've discussed so far, what is the budgeted range for this position?
It's the reverse Uno. You just answered a question with a question.
But notice the tone of it. It's collaborative. You start with, I'm really excited to learn more, but it smoothly pivots the pressure back to them. You are essentially saying, logically, I cannot price the car until I look under the hood.
Right.
And by asking for their budget, you force them to reveal their hand first.
And it prevents that awful sinking feeling of saying, 80,000.
Mm.
and seeing the recruiter's eyes light up because they were fully ready to pay you $110,000.
Exactly. You protect your upside right from the start.
Okay, let's move to scenario two, the no-budget wall. This is the one that stops, I'd say, 90% of people in their tracks. So I'm your boss. It's your annual review. I look a little sad. I say, look, you're doing great work, honestly, but corporate has completely frozen the budget this year. My hands are tied. I just can't give you a raise this cycle.
Yeah, and most people hear no budget, and they translate that to the conversation is over. They say thank you, and they leave the room. But the conversation isn't over.
So what's the script?
The script is, I understand the current budget constraints. Since a base salary increase isn't an option right now, I'd like to discuss a scheduled off-cycle review in 6 months, or adjusting my benefits package to include extra professional development to reflect my recent performance.
That is incredibly sharp. Why does that work so well?
Because you aren't accepting zero. You are validating their constraint, saying, I get it, no cash today,
yeah.
But you are establishing a debt. You are telling them, if you can't pay me in currency today, you need to pay me in time or pay me in future guarantees.
And getting an off-cycle review in writing is huge. It basically says, we formally agree that you are underpaid right now, and we will revisit and fix it in June.
It keeps the transaction open. A no today becomes a yes tomorrow, but only if you ask for it.
Brilliant. All right, scenario three, the introvert's defense. This is for the person who feels physically ill at the mere thought of bragging about themselves. I'm the boss again. I say, so tell me why you think you deserve this bump in pay.
The absolute nightmare question for an introvert. The fix here is to depersonalize it completely. You use the data shield. You say, I've prepared a summary of my impact over the last year and how it aligns with our department goals. I'd like to walk through these numbers with you to ensure my compensation is aligned with the current market value for this role.
Ensure compensation is aligned. That specific phrase is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
It creates a triangle. Instead of it being me versus you in an argument, it becomes me and you together looking at the data. You aren't defending your ego anymore. You are defending the spreadsheet.
And as we established with the invoice analogy, it is much easier to argue about market value alignment than it is to argue about your own personal worthiness.
Exactly. It takes the heat right out of it.
Okay, last one. Scenario four, the new offer. I've just offered you the job. You really want it, but the number is slightly low. I say, we're absolutely thrilled to offer you the position at this starting salary.
And the overwhelming fear here is that if you negotiate now, I'll rescind the offer and you lose the job. But the data shows that over 80% of recruiters actually expect a counteroffer. They build a buffer into their initial number.
It's essentially a secret signing bonus that you only get if you speak up.
Correct. So the script here is the bridge. You say, I am thrilled about the offer and the team. Based on my research and the specific expertise I'm bringing in this skill, I was expecting a range closer to my target number. Is there flexibility to bridge that gap?
Is there flexibility to bridge that gap? That is so gentle.
It invites them to solve the problem with you. And notice the callback to the specific skill, your hidden steal. You aren't asking for more money because you have a mortgage to pay. You are asking because your specific skills command a premium in the market.
It feels like all these scripts transform the interaction from a conflict into a calibration. You're just calibrating the deal.
That is exactly it. And honestly, we are entering an era where this kind of calibration is becoming the norm anyway. The wind is really at our backs here.
You're referring to the regulatory context mentioned in the insight section of the sources.
Yes, the EU Pay Transparency Directive specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a global trend. Governments are realizing that salary secrecy primarily benefits the employer and hurts the employee. So they are pushing for published salary ranges and strengthening equal pay for equal work mandates.
And just to be clear, we are neutrally reporting on this directive as it's laid out in the source material, but it does show a shift. We are moving from an era of secrecy, where the company holds all the cards and you're just guessing in the dark, to an era of clarity.
We are, but, and this is a critical distinction, clarity creates opportunity, but it doesn't do the actual work for you. The law might force a company to publish a salary range of $80,000 to $100,000.
Right.
But you still have to be the one to argue why you are the $100,000 candidate and not the $80,000 candidate.
I think there's a lingering fear, though, especially for the audience, life equality targets. Like women in tech.
Yeah.
There is a worry that using these scripts or being this data-driven and firm makes you sound arrogant. or, you know, difficult to manage.
I am so glad you brought that up because it is the biggest mental block to clear. We need to distinguish between arrogance and confidence,
right?
Because they are not the same thing.
How does life equality separate them?
Arrogance is demanding value that you haven't actually created. It's asking for a raise just because you've occupied a desk for a year.
Right. I haven't been fired, so pay me more.
That is entitlement. Confidence, on the other hand, is simply clearly communicating the value you have already created. If you save the company $50,000, having a negotiation action plan and asking for a $5,000 raise isn't arrogance. It is a deeply discounted commission.
Could go right back to the invoice. If you delivered the goods, you are obligated to send the bill.
Send the bill, because the company is never going to volunteer to pay more than the invoice states. That's just not how business works.
We've covered a lot of ground today. The psychology of the gap, finding your hidden steel, role-playing the combat with Sally, and those incredibly practical scripts. It's a very comprehensive system. But as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave everyone listening with one specific visual from the website that really stuck with me.
Ah, the shopping cart.
Yes, the empty cart. It's such a simple UI element on a website, but as a metaphor for your career, it's devastating.
It really is. Picture your career as a shopping trip. You are going through the aisles every single day. You put in the long hours. You learn the new coding language. You mentor the junior staff. You solve the server crisis on a Friday night. You are filling that cart with immense value.
The cart is overflowing by the end of the year.
But then you get to the checkout counter, which is your performance review or your job offer negotiation, and you just walk right past the scanner. You leave the store with a receipt that says zero.
The value was there. You did all the work, but you didn't invoice for it.
That is the thought I want you to sit with today. Your career cart is only empty if you don't scan the items. The value exists. It is real, and you created it. But until you communicate it, until you uncover that steel and actually say the words out loud, it is just potential energy. It isn't wealth.
You have to trigger the transaction.
You have to trigger the transaction. No one else is going to do it for you.
That is such a powerful place to land. So for everyone listening, whether you are in tech, creative fields, or corporate management, take a hard look at your invoice this week. Look for the items you forgot to scan. Find your steel. And please, do not be afraid to bridge the gap.
Always a pleasure to break this down.
Thanks for diving in with us. Catch you on the next one.